from fivedoves.com. All Roads Lead to Rome, Part 10, by Pastor Bob Reed, 28 September 2014. All Dubs, a few posts back on this series, I noted the fact that when American taxpayers write out their income tax check to the government every April 15th, their check was deposited in a bank in the territory of Puerto Rico. That fact was easily ascertained back when the bank sent you your canceled checks back monthly. Had you looked at your canceled check's deposit stamp on the reverse side of your check, you would have noticed that it went to the Federal Reserve System account, a private corporation, number 62, domiciled in the territory of Puerto Rico. In that post, I noted the revenue split was 60-40. 60% went to Rome and 40% to the Rothschilds Bank of England. The Federal Reserve is neither a U.S. federal agency, nor does it have any reserves. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation owned by 10 predominantly Rothschild-owned or controlled banks. Who owns the Federal Reserve, you might want to know? Over the decades, there has been much speculation about the true ownership of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a private cartel of originally owned and controlled by The Federal Reserve is a private cartel of originally owned and controlled by 10 investment banks privately, Rothschild, Vatican owned. Here is the list of the 10 banks that are the secret owners of the Federal Reserve system that control all U.S. banking and currency. 1. Rothschild Bank of London. 2. Rothschild Bank of Berlin. 3. Lazard Bank of Paris. 4. Israel Moses Seif Bank of Italy. 5. Warburg Bank of Hamburg. 6. Warburg Bank of Amsterdam. 7. Lehman Brothers Bank of New York, now owned by Barclays Bank LLC since the Chapter 11 bankruptcy failure of 2008. Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York. Chase Manhattan Bank of New York, Rockefeller's Bank, Goldman Sachs Bank of New York. The Federal Reserve System is made up of 12 districts. This was done to make it appear that it was not dominated by one particular region or banking house. The fact of the matter is that the New York Federal District runs the show. It sets interest rates and controls the daily supply of money circulating in the system. Not all regional or local banks are members banks of the Fed. There are many state chartered banks which are independent of the Fed and have remained outside the Fed for reasons of their own. The Federal Reserve System was chartered by Congressional Act in December of 1913. President Wilson signed into law the Federal Reserve Act and later, in a deathbed confession, admitted that he had sold his country into slavery. He said he was tricked into thinking the bill would bring monetary stability to the country. The Fed increased its holdings of U.S. debt during the 2007 to 2013 recession by double what it held prior to the 2007 to 23 recession. Today, the Fed owns about $2 trillion of the national debt, enough to ruin the country when it decides to call in all that debt. China owns the largest foreign amount of the U.S. national debt at around $1.4 trillion. The second largest holder of the U.S. national debt is a so-called U.S. Social Security Trust Fund. The truth be known, the Federal Reserve ownership of U.S. debt is really owned by the Vatican-Rothschild cartel. Until just a few years ago, the Chase Manhattan Bank of New York was independent of the Rothschilds. That was until they threw in with the Rothschilds. The other banks of this cartel have several centuries of ties with the Rothschilds, and so you can see why I said the Federal Reserve System is owned by the Vatican Rothschilds. All the treaties the U.S. has signed in the past 100 years, such as GATT, NAFTA, WTO, have integrated the USA into a one-world government. despite efforts of former Congressman Ron Paul, and even as recently as a few days ago. Efforts to audit the Federal Reserve have been futile, but for a few revelations. The Federal Reserve has never paid so much as a penny in taxes other than on its real estate property taxes. Each year over the past decade, between $300 and $360 billion was paid into the Fed, IRS, by American businesses, companies, and individuals to pay toward the interest on the national debt. Preliminary estimates are that the USA will pay between $400 and $450 billion in taxes just to service the debt, usury, interest, owed to the Federal Reserve. It was in late 2003 when the banks stopped returning canceled checks. Even if you paid a monthly fee to get photostat copies, they later reneged on that policy as well. A bank manager that I knew and had dealt with for 40 years told me that the Federal Reserve issued the order to banks no longer return canceled checks because of the processing costs of returning canceled checks. If you want to verify what I have shared here, you about where your tax check is deposited, you will have to request photostat copies, which will cost you a few bucks. This fact has gone unnoticed for decades because who bothers to look at their check endorsements? From 1928 to 32, there were 5 years of Geneva Conventions. The free nations of the world met in Geneva, Switzerland for five continuous years to set up what would be the bankruptcy policy of the participating nations. In 1930, the U.S., Great Britain, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, and Portugal, and other countries declared bankruptcy. It was the result of the stock market crash of 1929. The Great Depression triggered the bankruptcies of many countries. However, if you try to look up the 1930 volume containing the minutes of what happened, you are likely to never find it. This particular volume has been pulled out of circulation, or it is hidden in the library and is difficult to locate. This volume contains the evidence of the bankruptcy. I do not know what you know about the former congressman from Youngstown, Ohio, James Traficant, but the seven-term congressman from the Mahoning Valley area of Northeast Ohio, however, but beam me up, Scotty, Jim opened a can of worms that the U.S. has been trying to keep secret for a century. Because of James Traficant's revelations on the House floor and included in the congressional record, his retribution was to be discredited, indicted on trumped-up charges, and sentenced to prison. He was released from prison in September of 2009 after serving a 7-year sentence. You have no idea of how important this series is because we are slaves of Rome. In 1932, Franklin D. Roosevelt came to power as president of the USA. Roosevelt's job was to put into place and administer the bankruptcy proceedings that had been declared 2 years earlier. America's corporate government needed a key Supreme Court decision to implement the bankruptcy plan for the United States. The corporate government of the USA needed a key Supreme Court decision to implement the bankruptcy plan. All right, next time, about this corporate government importance next time. This is extremely important, far more than you may understand. The corporate U.S. government had to have a legal case on the books to set the stage for the recognizing, implementation, and supporting the bankruptcy. The bankruptcy started in 1930 to 31. The bankruptcy became official when Roosevelt came into office, although the public was not aware of the declaration of bankruptcy in Geneva by the U.S. President Roosevelt was sworn in as president in January of 1933. He started right away on the bankruptcy plan, which is historically known as the banking holiday. When the banks closed for a few holidays, as millions of customers were pulling their monies out of the banks. Roosevelt proceeded in pulling in gold coin to get the gold out of circulation. Roosevelt then began to stack the Supreme Court with close associates who would vote on one Supreme Court case to support the bankruptcy plan. There was bitter resistance to Roosevelt stacking the court with his most trusted legal advisors. Some of the justices on the Supreme Court trying to warn the nation that Roosevelt was tampering with the law and with the courts. Roosevelt was trying to see to it that prior decisions of the court were overturned through the process of stacking the court. Roosevelt was trying to bring the New World Order back then and transform the law of the land. A bankruptcy case was needed on the books to legitimize the fact that corporate U.S. had already declared bankruptcy. The corporate U.S. had to be created to replace the constitutionally created United States of America by the Founding Fathers in the original 13 colonies after the American Revolution in 1776. The massive restructuring of American government was in response to a worldwide economic depression. The bankers who held the debt for the U.S. and other countries told these nations' leaders, "You can do it either of two ways, the easy way or the hard way. You can just accept the bankruptcy and we'll let you out of the depression. If you don't, you're on your own." The bankers, led by Rothschild's Jesuit Vatican in Europe and the Rockefellers in America, by way of the U.S. Federal Reserve bankers, literally had the bankrupt nations by the throat. These bankrupt nations agreed that over a period of several years they would pass the necessary laws for the implementation of the bankruptcy in favor of the international bankers. The plan developed by President Roosevelt in the 1930s became America's corporate public policy. It is known as the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC. Each state in the U.S. unwittingly adopted the code, not knowing that it compelled every taxpayer to pay off the nation's bankruptcy debt, declared in 1930 and implemented by President Roosevelt. It became the law of the land. The code involves debtors and creditors. Every legal action where you appear before a magistrate or a judge since 1938 is before an equity court. Our courts, equity courts, administer commercial law, having a debtor-creditor law as the controlling law. Today we have an equity court system, but not an equity court as referred to in the United States Constitution or any of the legal documents before 1938. The year the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on a case, Erie Railroad versus Thompson. That case laid the groundwork for all legal transactions in the USA. The Equity Court was created by corporate United States, itself a creation of the world banking systems in the 1930s. The U.S. Constitution, created by our founders and the 13 colonies, the original United States of America, no longer exists. It was replaced by the corporate United States to deal with the corporate national debt. None of the sovereign states were represented in this dictatorial change of America's judicial financial system. All the courts of this once great and free land has been changed, starting with the Supreme Court decision of 1938 in Erie Railroad versus Thompson. The court, of course, ruled in favor of the creditor, thus creation of the legal foundation for the Unified Commercial Code, more precisely the illegal foundation for the Unified Commercial Code. The federal government had to destroy all other case law that had been established before 1938. The federal government had to have a legal case, Erie Railroad versus Thompson, to destroy all precedents, all appearance, and even the statute of law itself. What I have just stated is the statute at large had to be perverted and subverted. It was right after the Erie Railroad Thompson case that the American Law Institute and National Conference of Commissions on Uniform State Laws created the code that is on all taxpayers' backs today. In reality, our legal and judicial system of corporate America is an illegal system imposed on the taxpayer to force them to pay off the bankruptcy debt in 1930, a debt that will never be paid off. The 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was for the purpose of establishing a federal income tax, and it was also illegally created by the federal government in 1913. There's absolutely no evidence that the 38 states at the time approved the federal income tax. Bill Benson published a two-volume work on the law that never was. Mr. Benson actually visited every state capital and researched their records to see if each state ratified the 16th Amendment. He discovered that the 16th Amendment was never ratified by the required number of states. The IRS uses intimidation, bullying the public through the use of fear to maintain public compliance by taxpayers. The courts nearly always rule on behalf of the IRS, dismissing the suits as frivolous lawsuits. The only way that an individual can beat the IRS in court is to demand a jury trial and then have your attorney demand that the law for the IRS taxation be produced in court. The IRS can't produce the document, and thus the jury nearly always rules on behalf of the litigant defendant. There are numerous cases on the internet where tax defendants have won their case against the IRS. Failure of the IRS to show the law for the IRS immediately gains the sympathy of the jury and almost always finds the defendant not guilty. The illegal Unified Commercial Code was, of course, approved by the American Bar Association in 1952, which makes that organization also an illegal operation. By the middle 1960s, every state had unknowingly passed the UCC into state law. Washington, D.C. adopted the Uniform Commercial Code into law just 6 weeks after President John F. Kennedy's assassination. Who represents the illegal corporate United States? All of its public agencies and institutions, including the IRS, all branches of the military, parks, post office, EPA, etc. The federal government freely gives the land, its personnel, and the money it collects from taxpayers through the IRS and its state corporations to the United Nations and the international banksters, the Rothschild Jesuit Vatican cartel, as payment on the federal 1930 bankruptcy debt. America's taxpayers are forever beholden to the banks. The federal government put all 50 sovereign states into bankruptcy without their knowledge or approval. When former Youngstown Congressman James Traficant announced the U.S. bankruptcy as part of his address on the House floor, the proverbial cat was out of the bag, and there was a lot more to this than the public knew. As this series of posts will show, this fact that the United States of America filed bankruptcy in 1930 will help you to understand the reason that all U.S. flags in U.S. federal courts and state courts, government buildings, military recruiters are gold fringe flags. We are still in receivership as a result of the U.S. filing bankruptcy in 1930. The gold fringed flags are symbolic of what we are entering into the realm of admiralty or maritime law. Since March 3, 1933, we have been in a state of declared national emergency. Every president since Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the Emergency War Powers Act with an executive order under 12 U.S.C. 95A at the first of the year every year. The USA is at war, and the citizenry is the enemy of the banks. The Emergency Powers Act has its origin when President Abraham Lincoln came into office. Congress was not in session when Civil War broke out, and thus precedent for presidential execution of presidential powers. Unquote. For bibliography, see Pastor Bob Reed's posts at fivedoves.com or pastorbobreed.com.